10 is due today. It's the E26. So, turn that in. And if you have problems with the questions, please see me. We're going to be continuing futures, finishing up futures, getting started on brokerage firms, margining. We should get the margining today. And then shorting on Tuesday. Then other investment alternatives. And we have Baffle the Broker. So here is your chance to ask me any question. You know, I taught computers a million years ago, about half a million years ago. My office mate and I would have this little session called Stump the Nerd, where you have any question you wanted at all about computers. And so I don't teach computers anymore. I teach in finance. So anything about investments, anything about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, if you want to ask about stuff in Business 121 class, go right ahead, credit, insurance. But you can also ask any question. People ask me, why is the sky blue? Where do babies come from? If you're so smart, how come you're not rich? So, any question at all. And what I'll do is at the very last day, I make a presentation out of it. That's the presentation. And I throw some other stuff in. But it sums up the course. So please do think about it. I would really appreciate them today because it takes a while to build this presentation. And I want to have this weekend because next weekend is shot. All right. Any questions about what we're doing? When's the final?
The 17th.
Yeah, not for a couple of weeks. Yeah, it's a few weeks now, but two more weeks of instruction. After this, we have two more weeks of instruction, and then the final. So it's on Thursday. Sorry.
10 in the morning, you said, or?
I think it's at 8, right? It's 8 to 10. Because people will show up at 9:30, and I'll stick around later. But you're supposed to start at 8 o'clock, my understanding. Okay, now, how are we doing? Whose idea was Netflix? Is it time to buy more Netflix?
Yes.
Yeah? I don't know, folks. Who's gunning for their market? Who wants their market?
Redbox.
Redbox.
Amazon.
Walmart. Apple and Google want their market. So we'll see what happens. But look at Apple jump back up again. Yet another stellar quarter for Apple. And did I tell you not to give up on Coca-Cola? Look, right? People are going to be drinking that crap for another 100 years, getting diabetes. And GE is coming back. ExxonMobil just raised their dividend. Johnson & Johnson just raised their dividend. Yeah, dividends are going up. Oh, yeah.
Can you say that Walmart is one of your best buys? About what is going on right now?
I'll get a little slap on the wrist.
Because they said that they
went lower. Yeah, the stock got hit. So it might be, if you're a big Walmart fan in terms of the stock, it might be a good time to buy. But I don't know. But it doesn't look like they're going to get a little slap on the wrist. The people who say no publicity is bad publicity.
Doesn't it Ford have like two different types of stock?
Ford,
like one for like I.
One for the family and one
like
for the
family car.
Maybe, yeah.
The smaller part is held for like 47, and the other one is like 100.
You know, I don't know that.
I think that
we could look into that.
Yeah.
Write that down. We'll look into that. Okay. I don't think there might be one for the family, one share class for the family, and one for the general public.
I thought one was for like the classic stuff, like the older model, and then
I don't know.
I figured they might be like re-studying the engine.
Jorge, when I don't know something, you know what I'm going to tell you? I don't know, right? Exactly, I don't know. Okay, so this is what we started on. Joke! Who's got a good joke? Nobody? Did I tell you about the priest, the rabbi, and the... Daniel, pick up one. And the... pick up one of those right there. Did I tell you about the priest, the rabbi, and the minister when they were talking about life began? Did I tell you about that? Okay, here's a religious term. Kind of a religious
life
term.
Began.
Yeah, when life began. When life begins. And the priest said, on this issue, we are very resolute. Life begins at the moment of conception. And the minister said, well, we take a more relaxed view, liberal view. We believe that life begins at the moment that the fetus can exist outside the womb of the mother on its own. And the rabbi said, oh, you're both crazy. Life begins when the kids leave home and the dog dies. It's when life begins. Okay, so please fill out the baffle the broker. And let's get restarted on futures contracts. Futures contracts are like options in that you're making a contract between two individuals or entities. Two might be a company. But the idea here is that there's a specific commodity. There's something that's going to be bought or sold in the future, and you're setting the price for it today. And it started with wheat and soybeans and cattle and pork bellies, and then moved to gold and oil, and then financial assets. And we saw the example of the wheat farmer who in April now has planted 1,000 acres or however many acres of wheat and expects to have 500,000 bushels of wheat in September. Well, today, right now, he sees that $6 per bushel is what wheat futures are selling for in September. And he's happy with that price. So he can say, I'll do it. In September, I'll deliver to you 500,000 bushels of wheat at $6 a bushel. And then we saw that consumers of commodities, such as food companies who need wheat and rice and soybeans, can say, today we see that futures in September are selling for $6. We'll buy those 500,000 bushels of wheat. And we saw that the advantages is that you're locking in a price that you're happy with. The disadvantage is if the price goes against you, oh well. But if the price goes in your favor, oh well, you lost opportunity cost. In other words, if you're the buyer and the price goes down, you could have bought it at a cheaper price. If you were the seller and the price goes up, you could have sold it at a higher price. But you're protected against the price going against you. The price going up for the buyers, the consumers, and going down for the producers. And this is where we ended, right? Hedging? Here's that term, hedge your bet. Have you heard that? When you take a position opposite to your existing position, then you are hedging. If I'm the farmer, I'm going to have 500,000 bushels in 6 months. So right now, I'll take a position opposite to that. I'll sell those bushels that I'll have in October. Ooh. If I'm the buyer and I'm going to need those 500,000 bushels, I will take the position where I will buy them. It's called hedging. And then here are the major classification of commodities. And so what we said, when you hear that oil is selling for $100 a barrel, which it is right now, is it really selling today for $100 a barrel? No, that's typically they quote the 3 month, but there are 6 month and 9 month contracts. So that's what oil will be delivered, what they're going to pay for it when it's delivered 3 months from now. And then it has to be refined and wind up at the gas station. That's why you hear the price skyrocket, but yes, gasoline prices don't go up very quickly. And then you hear the price plummet and you say, why is it still $3 or $4 a barrel? And the same thing is true for all these other commodities. Now, what are financial futures? Well, the financial world adopted the technique of futures contracts to financial assets, treating stocks or bonds or currencies like cocoa or wheat or soybeans. Interest rates, bond indexes, stock indexes. I will deliver to you $25,000 worth of British pounds next April. Okay, I'll have the 25,000 British pounds and I'll deliver them to you. I will purchase $10,000 worth of the Standard & Poor's index from you in August. Today, I can say that I will do that. And I pay a certain price for that. Are you with me? Understand? So we're treating financial assets as if they were hard assets, wheat, oil, gold. What is the purpose of financial futures? Well, for those working in the world of finance, and especially the world of international business, they really can be helpful. They can be very useful tools. So you're a car manufacturer here in the United States, but you buy your engines from Japan. And so you know that October you're going to need 50,000 engines from Japan. Well, today you can buy a currency future for $20 million worth of Japanese yen in October when you're going to actually go out and buy the motors, the engines. You see what the car manufacturer is doing? They are hedging. They're saying we're going to need these engines in October. And they're going to cost us $20 million at today's currency rate. But what if the dollar goes down in the next 6 months? You see what's going to happen to them? They're going to get hammered. Because now it's going to take more dollars, and they're trying to plan how much should we sell this car for, and now what are we going to need? And so they are protecting themselves. Now what if the dollar goes up? Oh, well, darn, right? But as long as they're happy with that profit they're going to make now, they say, okay, we'll do that. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't work. Questions? Thoughts? I'm sorry? Go ahead. Well, yes and no. The way to back out of a contract is to just close out the position. Say they bought that and then the dollar went up really high. They could just say, let's sell the future that we bought, and let somebody, just like an option, right? We don't have to wait until the option expires to actually do the option. We could just close out our position.
And then
if the dollar goes down,
what's the old contract for it?
No, you got rid of the contract.
When the dollar went up, right? You sold it.
You closed out the contract.
Right, and then buy it again.
Oh, and buy it again at a higher value. You might wind up making money that way. I'd have to look at the individual situation. But you see what Larry's saying?
Yeah.
Let's do it at it's like refinancing your house and saying, oh, it's a better rate. Let's lock in that better rate. I guess that might work, especially if you believe the dollar is going to fall. But remember, you've got to pay every time. You can think of it like insurance, but it's not free. Can anyone purchase futures? Do you have to be a farmer to sell the future? Do you have to be a food manufacturer to buy the future?
Probably not.
No. Lucky you. You do not have to work in either the commodities world or the financial world to buy and sell futures contracts. You can be a speculator, and that's what Obama's using now as his campaign. He's going after the oil speculators. You can simply buy and sell the futures contract, and you never actually deliver or take delivery of the commodity nor the financial assets. You could buy those 500,000 bushels to be delivered in September, even though you live in a condo in West LA and you've never even seen a farm, right? And what are you going to do with 500,000 bushels of wheat? Exactly. What do you think of this strategy? Well, you're going to have to close out the contract. You're not going to ever take delivery of the 500,000 bushels a week. Eventually, you're going to have to turn around and sell the contract to somebody else. Does that make sense? Yeah. So what do you think of this strategy? What is the... What? Oh, yeah. What if wheat prices fell? What is she going to do? She bought 500,000 bushels of wheat, and wheat prices went from $6 to $3. She's going to lose a whole lot of money really quickly. Yeah. No, it's dangerous, folks. Speculating.
But isn't it better sometimes if you have put the money to work, isn't it better to get some money out to get you moving or to make a profit all the time?
Well, I don't know how to answer that question other than to say, yes, some people say, well, there's nothing wrong with keeping money in the bank. If it's short term, yes. In other words, if you're a contrarian, you wait for those times when you really believe that everybody's gone the wrong way. They've either become too optimistic or they've become too pessimistic. But the problem with futures is that you can lose a lot of money quickly. Especially if you have no intention or ability to ever utilize the commodity that you're speculating with. What is she going to do with 500,000 bushels of wheat? She's not going to be able to do anything. She's going to have to close out the contract. And in fact, as we're going to see when we get to the next chapter, they won't let her lose a lot of money. They will close out the, meaning her brokers. Her broker will close out the position for her if she doesn't do it, depending on how much she loses and how much capital she has. And we'll get to that today. You should. Okay. Now, I want you to understand this. We've used this term often, speculating, but here's a definition. Speculating is accepting the futures price risk without having a position opposite to the existing position in the underlying commodity or financial instrument. In other words, the woman sitting in L.A. had no intention of ever consuming these 500,000 bushels of wheat. So she was simply speculating. And this is where you hear about oil speculators. They have no intentions of ever buying or selling the oil. They're just simply the middle men and women trying to make a buck off the price changes. It's the opposite of hedging. Hedging means you need to sell or you need to buy. Future speculation is risky. I love it. I took it out of the 5th and the 6th edition because you just want to slap these people. But it is potentially rewarding if you can accurately forecast the direction of future commodities price movements. Can anyone accurately forecast the future? You can inaccurately forecast the future all day long and do a very good job of it and maybe get paid big bucks to do it. But no one can accurately forecast the future. If our LA speculator sitting in her condo had purchased the futures contract for 500,000 bushels of wheat to be delivered in September and wheat prices plummeted, she could potentially lose hundreds of thousands of dollars. Think about it. Every dollar down is another $100,000 or $500,000. Yes?
But is there really money lost if, you know, she went into the futures and, you know, she was going to make a profit of what she invested, isn't it?
Not necessarily. If the price goes down, see, she said she'll buy it at 6. What if the price goes to 5? How much has she just lost? A dollar times 500,000 bushels. That's $500,000, folks. Yeah, the numbers are staggering when it comes to futures. Here is the place where they're sold and bought everywhere, but the Chicago Board of Trade is the big futures commodities market. The long position is the buyer of the futures contract. The short position is the seller of the futures contract. We'll talk about long and short today. Take one of these, please. Yes.
In the end, what is the money
that... If the price had gone up to $7,
no, she
would have bought a new Mercedes-Benz.
Did I say she paid the money
so you don't come up with the whole, in this case, 500,000 times 6, or, you know, she doesn't come up with the whole amount of money. You come up with a small amount of money.
So let's say, who does she buy it from? The farmer?
Whoever's on the other side. Who's ever on the other side of the contract. Maybe the farmer, maybe somebody else who bought it originally from the farmer.
Okay.
Understand? So there's somebody else on the other side of the contract. It's a contract. Okay, futures seem like options. Yes, the two are very similar. They work like options. There's potential for great rewards, but there's also much more the likelihood of sustaining great losses. In fact, the potential losses from futures contracts are staggering, especially if you get in a big way. You can just lose tons of money quickly. You can make tons of money quickly, so don't get me wrong. There's a potential upside. If the price of wheat had gone up, yippee. And just like options, who wins out every time? Your broker. By the way, you can purchase options on futures contracts. What do you think of that? I write. I see myself writing. I write about seeing myself writing. I see myself seeing myself writing about writing. Final comments on op futures? Yeah, stay away from them. They're even more radioactive than options. They're dangerous. If you want to get involved in this world, go right ahead. Good luck. I wish you the best of success. But you have to understand them, right? So when your uncle or your brother-in-law starts screaming about those speculators in oil futures or whatever, you say, well, sure, you can actually explain what's going on because he doesn't understand. And then you can say, you know, nobody complained about the oil speculators in 2008 when the price went from 147 down to 39. They lost, you know, tremendous sums of money. But nobody complained about that then. When the prices of oil is going down, we all cheer that. But when it goes up, well, then those speculators are to blame. All right. And that's chapter 14, review. And there's no assignment. Okay? What do you think?
Good.
All right. Now let's get going on buying and selling securities. Okay. Now, does anybody already in the market? Anybody already have a brokerage firm? Nobody in here? I got a couple in the online class that do. I'm always interested in hearing how happy you are with your brokerage, especially your bank, your credit union, your insurance company. I'm always here. I'm always happy to hear that because I'm sort of in an unusual position, but I'm in a different position than most retail investors in that I'm a broker. So if I went to another brokerage firm, my boss would not would not be happy about that. And I don't blame him. So buying and selling securities. Do we have enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Alexis, you look so happy. Did you win the lottery yesterday?
No.
Oh, darn. You wouldn't be here? You wouldn't still love learning? I would have gotten an email. To invest your money. Yes, this would be the best place to go. Right, to learn. Okay. Invest in real estate. I think we're going to do real estate next week. We're going to do real estate next week a little bit. I think real estate's a great deal now. In fact, I'm actively looking. My wife is looking at me funny, but I'm serious. I want to buy another property. So it's a good time. As stocks, I just look around. Some students come to my office and say, well, which stocks? Let's look at a couple of stocks. And it's just point. They say, what about this one? It's, you know, incredibly risky, speculative, not even based in the United States. And I go, well, how about this? Look at this company. And they go, that's boring. I say, yeah, it's boring, but it's good. Yeah.
So you're going to buy more property?
More property.
But you said that yesterday. You were saying that.
It's the same thing. Same thing. You were in the other class.
You were saying that you don't want to buy another property because then you have to fix it.
Right. I didn't for years. I never wanted to be a landlord. Next week, we'll talk about real estate. Yeah, real estate, it gives me a renewed appreciation of the financial securities world. Because real estate is such a pain in the ass. You can't believe anything the realtors say. You know they're lying when their mouths are moving, right? And then you got to deal with loan brokers, and they have just incredibly weird rules. And then you got to deal with the escrow company and all these other people. And then the city comes in and says, "Oh no, you can't do that." But what?
And they're not going to do cold calling by not going to your door, real estate agents.
Here in Chula Vista?
They have to be at my door.
Okay. All right.
My door, and the lady had to... Here's my card.
Okay, good for her. Good for her. That's the way to do it. Yeah. People are cold calling. So if you ever... Anybody cold call? It's not easy. I tell the... You have to love being rejected. You have to love hearing the word no. And you shake their head and say, thank you very much. And you go on to the next one. And you just enjoy being told... Get out of here. Look at that creep. You gotta love it.